Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Night Shadows. I'm Stuart Best, where the paranormal is normal, where that which you thought you knew, you didn't. And where the future can be known if you know exactly where to look.
Well, good evening, everyone. Thanks for tuning in. We're still trying to get a hold of Augusto. I'm going to try one more time. Hi, Larry. How are you doing on your mountain?
Hey, yeah, thanks for having me. The only thing I'm glad of is there's no hurricanes around my mountain.
Yeah. Augusto, are you on? No, I'm not getting through. Well, let me try again. This is live radio, so this is what happens, folks. You just never know.
That's right.
Hello, Augusto, are you there? Can we hear you? Or can you hear us? I can't hear anything. Can you hear anything, Larry?
No, I can't. You don't reckon he tried with Skype, do you?
I don't know. I tell you what. Why don't you give him a call on your phone and see if you can get him? We're going to try and call him independently and see if we can all close him out. Anyway, this is live radio, as I said, folks. All kinds of weird things are happening anyway. Larry, where do you want to start? There is so much going on in the world. When we get Augusto on, we can have a really... he's had a number of visions about, how do I say, water coming up over the land. And so it's going to be kind of interesting with this. What's the latest, by the way, on the hurricane?
Well, the latest information is really startling because... the hurricane apparently is not moving as predicted north. It's moving only westward, which it's bumping off of the edges of Cuba right now, which it really wasn't supposed to come that close. Of course,
mm-hmm.
That's dragging it down a little, but they say once it gets out, it's going to increase in intensity. And they're very concerned now because it has almost passed any window of any kind that where it could turn a little north and be on the east coast of Florida. They're very concerned now that it's either going to do one or two things, come up through the middle of Florida or the west of Florida and or into the Gulf of Mexico, and none of those are good scenarios.
Wow. So where do they expect it? Maybe to go in the Gulf? That would murder the energy industry, let alone millions of people that live there.
Well, at the same time, Stuart, what they're very concerned about is a lot of the evacuations, you know, was of the middle and the east coast of Florida. And if we're talking now about, you know, the west coast of Florida, which a lot of people still there and didn't try to leave.
Call in on his phone.
Thank you.
Then it's going to be a very bad scenario because they say the portion of the hurricane, if it comes up across the west coast, is really going to bring havoc. And, you know, and they're very concerned, too, about the same thing. Will it clip southern Florida and go into the Gulf of Mexico? And none of the above scenarios are good.
Hey, I'm going to try Augusto again, see if we can get him. We got him on the other phone. Hello, Augusto? Hello? Hello? Can you hear anything, Larry? I can't.
If his landline for some reason is down, if you got him on, or if you got him on the phone, maybe he can call in on his cell phone and do the show if he can't get through on his line.
Okay, we'll try that. Can he come and call in on his cell phone? This is not working at all, so I don't know what's going on. Again, folks, we apologize, but it's a live show, kinds of things do happen that way. We're hoping that he can call in and we can pick him up that way. Anyway, so do they expect this thing to jump back then, obviously, to a Category 5 or higher?
Well, what they're talking about is, you know, the eye wall at one time was about 70 miles wide. Well, now it has shrunk to about, the last I heard, about 45 to 46 miles, which means it's in strengthening mode. And what's so disconcerting also, you know, it's a 4. They're expecting it to go to 5. And mm-hmm. then they've got Jose right behind it, who is now a Category 4 hurricane, moving towards a 5 and also not turning north, and it's following Irma. So it's just not a good scenario either way you look at it.
Well, there's a lot of the folks out there that, you know, kind of keep track of these kind of things are calling in, and we'll have to have his number. We're trying to still connect with Augusto. That it's being steered. And, of course, with this inbound blast from the CME, who knows what that could do to this storm. I don't know. What do you think, Larry? I just think we're under siege. I think America's being pummeled from the eclipse, the 40 days to atonement, Jonah's 40 days of a warning, either a repent or perish. And it doesn't seem like, you know, I mean, how could the Lord best wake up the American people? What do you think?
Well, what's interesting is the fact that, and I sent you, or I notified you to kind of check it out, Stan Deo had a really interesting video on his website today. It's called Hurricane Irma Manipulation, Objectives mm-hmm. and Agendas. And I, matter of fact, that's at standeo.com. And he had a very good scenario. You said you watched it. What did you think of it? He was talking about a manipulation of the hurricane.
Yeah, I guess from everything I've seen, absolutely. There is. We're going to try another phone. Maybe we can get him on before the hurricane hits. There probably won't be any. Oh, here we go. Let's see if this works.
Hello?
Hello, Augusto. We got you.
Finally got me. I thought for a moment there that we were not going to be able to do anything tonight, but I'm telling you.
Yeah. Can you hear me loud and clear?
The enemy has been really giving me a hard time.
He's giving everybody a hard time. Larry can attest to that. I can attest to that. I think those that are out there really doing the job, telling the truth, are getting nailed for it.
I'm telling you. But praise God, we'll just keep pressing ahead and just keep looking up.
Yes. Yeah, it kind of looks like things are really starting to escalate rapidly. Larry, you were asking Augusto something?
Hey, Augusto, so glad we got you, and we've been in prayer for you and your family and others in Florida, but what's your take on it? It's very interesting how that Irma has not turned north like it's supposed to, and it's almost out of the window now where it could go north and go up the east coast at all of Florida, and it's moving towards really the west coast of Florida, the tip and the southern end and the west, and possibly the Gulf of Mexico. What's your take on that? What do you think it's doing?
that's a good question. I've been praying for it to go to the east, of course, to the, you know, on the Atlantic coast. If it goes into Florida, like they're saying that it's going to, you know, and I don't believe these people, because these people really don't know. Basically, the bottom line is they don't know. But if it does what they're saying is going to do, it's gonna hammer Miami. I mean, I've been looking at some models and doing some, search research here, and what we're looking at, Miami and the East Coast and the West Coast, you know, that south portion of Florida, it's going to be, it's going to be devastated. It's going to be cataclysmic, I think. We're looking at waves, okay? With these winds, we're looking at waves in excess of 45 feet, 45 to 50 feet high. That's the waves. That's not storm surge.
Wow. Oh.
And so Miami, the way it looks right now, if it keeps this track, it's going to get like 130-plus miles an hour winds. And plus a storm surge, plus the waves, so and plus the rain. It's going to be massive flooding there. You might as well kiss Miami Beach goodbye. It's over. Miami Beach is gone. That is about maybe 2 feet high, 3 feet high tops.
Oh,
so
boy.
You're talking about 45, 50-foot waves, which is almost like a mini tsunami, really, when you start thinking about it. And then you have, on top of that, storm surge, which means the sea comes in. And then the winds and the rain, I mean, it's going to be wiped out. All those islands there on the east coast of Miami and basically Dade County, it's going to be gone. It's going to be wiped out. And so parts of Miami are going to be gone. It's going to be flooded. It's going to be devastated. Parts of South Florida, many parts of I would dare say Dade County is going to be demolished totally. Dade County. And the thing here is that I see Larry and Stuart is that we're talking about 3 million people in excess. In Dade County, and Broward County is like another 2 million, and Palm Beach another million or two. We're talking about 5 to 7 million people there, and that's a lot of people that are going to be, and that's just those three counties that are going to be wiped out. Maybe not all their homes are going to be, but a lot of those people are, and then of course the storm. Supposed to keep going up, right through Belgrade there, which, and I don't know if you guys know, but that Miami was my stomping grounds when I was young, and
yeah.
A lot of my family still there. My brother and his family still there, and I spoke with him yesterday, and he has an autistic son, and so he was telling me that it was very, very difficult for him to leave, and because of all the situation involved with that, and the medicines he has to take and what have you, and so anyways, he was planning on writing it out, but the latest I heard is that the mayor there has declared that Miami and Dade County they has to be evacuated, mandatory evacuation. So I don't know what is with him. I am praying about this, but it's just does not looking good. And, anybody that has been watching this storm knows that there has been a tug of war. You know, it was trying to go, northwest, and then it went west, and then it was trying to do something else, and it kept changing. It seemed like there was a tug of war. And, I try to let the people know that there was being a tug of war being waged between I believe, the angels of the Lord and the demonic powers, and it seems like the demonic powers have gotten the upper hand so far. It's not over, of course. It's not over until it's over. Like Yogi Berra used to say, "It's not over until the fat lady sings." But But it seems like they are getting the upper hand now, and it keeps going west. And see, the way it's going now is going to go right through the middle of Florida, right through the middle. and he may exit there through Jacksonville or maybe west of Jacksonville. That's what they have plotted right now. But, I mean, that's going to go right through, smack through Florida, all of Florida. And it's going to affect both coasts because of the massive power of this hurricane. It's a Cat 5. And, you know, whether it's Cat 5 or Cat 4, by the time it gets into Miami, it's huge. It's massive. It covers both coasts, the East Coast and the West Coast. That's how big this thing is. It's a monster. So it's going to go right up through Florida. It's going to devastate Florida, really. It's going to wipe it out. Of course, by the time it gets to where we are, you know, we are in North Florida, North Central Florida, it's going to be a Cat 1. But still, it's mm-hmm. going to do damage, and you know, it's going to be horrific. But my main concern right now is South Florida. And that may be underwater before it's all over. I just don't know the way this thing is shaping up. And you mentioned something about going to the Gulf, Larry. I don't know about that. Is that what you heard the last you heard about that?
The last I heard about it, Augusto, they were saying when it stopped its northward movement, it was moving west now again, which they said might cause it to hit southern Florida, the west part of Florida, and go into the Gulf. So I don't really know. One thing I was going to ask you about, though, and you can explain whatever you want to of it, but I remembered I told Stuart you had had a series of experiences where you actually saw Florida going underwater about, I think you said one-third and then another third and then another third, but at different times.
Do you think we're
beginning to see maybe the first loss of Florida?
It could be. It could well be, you know, because I have had many experiences about Florida, and I had that, you know, that experience I had about one-third, and then the second-third, and then, when the rest of it is gone, it's going to be the whole country, really, you know, affected. Yeah, I mean, we're talking about New Madrid, the West Coast, everything. But the first one was going to be the South Florida. And the other experience I had was, and this was not too long ago, must have been maybe a couple of years ago, I was there in my old home in Miami, and in the Little Havana, they call it the Little Havana. And I was with my mom, which is, you know, she's gone to be with the Lord, and she was making some Cuban coffee for me, and I was just waiting for her to bring it to me, and I was smelling that you know aroma that is so fragrant and so strong of Cuban coffee being brewed. I was waiting there, and it was so real. And I started hearing a very, very powerful, like a roar, you know, like a rumbling sound, a very strong and very loud. And I thought it was like a thunder. So I opened the door, went outside, and when I looked outside, it was a tsunami. Now, it was not a huge tsunami, you know, like a 300, 500 feet. It was like a tsunami, you know. I could see the wave coming at me. And now that I'm starting to think about that, if this 50-foot wave comes, because where my mom used to live, right there, I mean, we only live like, I don't know, like about a mile from the coast. You know, there is a part of Miami there called the Bayfront Park, which is where the boats dock and all that. I mean, that was right there. I used to go walking, okay? I used to go walking from where my dad and mom used to live there. It was not very far. And the sea and everything was right there. And so this may have been what I saw, you know, these 50-foot waves, which... and the storm surge, and so I don't know. I don't know. I don't know if this is that event, or if it's another event. But this could certainly fulfill that easily. And I remember I went into the streets of Miami there, and in another dream I had, I was taken there, and the streets were all flooded. I mean, people were walking like waist deep in water or to their loins, just like in Texas. And 8th Street was gone, which is, you know, that's called the Little Havana, where Ronald Reagan, where he went to, you know, that time, you know, that place became famous, you know, because Ronald Reagan went there and had lunch there in the corner of Flagler and 12th Avenue. Okay, that is the heart of Little Havana. And I remember in my dream that all of that area, it was underwater, it was gone. And so I wonder if this is the fulfillment of that.
Sure, sounds like it could be. Now, would this be the one where the, I guess, Miami, how far north was it that it was gone, basically, in the first third? How far
was the first third was like, I would say, you know, Naples, all of that, Lake Okeechobee, you know, basically just north of Lake Okeechobee, which makes a whole lot of sense now because one of the things I didn't mention to you, excuse me, is that they're talking about Lake Okeechobee, which, you know, it has a dike there, and they're saying that if it rains enough, it's going to overflow that and probably break because it's not in very good condition. It could break that dike and the water overflow and just, I mean, flood that whole Central Park, Florida. And so that is a possibility now that the storm is going to go right through that. That's exactly where the storm is headed, right through there. And so the hurricane winds of 120, 130 or more miles an hour with the rain and the storms, I mean, this is a very strong possibility now. Before, if it would stay to the east of the coast, that might have been spared. But now the way they're saying this is going to go down, that whole Okeechobee River could very well flood.
Wow.
So yeah, there's a lot of little towns around there, around Lake Okeechobee, like Belglade and many of those little other towns around there. There's a lot of people that live there. Florida is one of those states that, especially the East Coast, that you can literally say that you get out of one city and you, I mean, and that's when you're getting into another city. It's like it's like all the cities are right next to each other, all the way from Homestead all the way up to Jacksonville. It's just solid city after city after city. And so it's one of the most populated, coasts in any state, really, in the United States, with a maybe possible exception of California. But Florida is right up there. And so it is one of those coasts that is heavily, heavily populated. Central Florida is not as much. Once you pass Orlando, and, you know, really it's not that much. I mean, like where I am, there's not that many folks here. And, the west of us either. But like I said, all the east coast of Florida, and that's the one that's going to get hit the hardest because the stronger winds of a hurricane are, of course, on the north and east of the of the eye. So that is where it's going to get hit the worst.
Well, if this was a steered hurricane or manipulated hurricane, which it could well be, there's some evidence of it, evidence of HAARP interference, evidence of a few other things that are going on, and they're finding strange signals of energy coming out from Antarctica, believe it or not, and nobody knows what that's really all about, but obviously, the powers that be, you may remember William Cohen, when he was Secretary of Defense, testified in Congress that certain powers had ability to create earthquakes, steer hurricane, that sort of thing.
Right.
So what thinking off the cuff, what would you think their target would be? Now, I'm talking about the Illuminati and the takedown of the United States through weather warfare to begin with. Would they want that thing possibly to go into the Gulf and finish up the destruction of our entire energy section? Or is there something in Florida going on that we're not aware of that they would like to get rid of, kind of like Texas, you know, the independence of it and all that?
Yeah. Yeah, of course, you know, we know that Florida was the state that put Donald Trump over the top. It was Florida. It was Florida. Florida, when he won Florida, when Florida went red, that's
right.
When the landslide began, and that's when he began to really, you know, win. And so Florida Florida has been very critical in every election. And so that, it doesn't surprise me that maybe there is some, you know, hatred, some resentment, bitterness by the dark side against Florida for doing that. And of course, the other thing is that there are a lot of intercessors in Florida, and they know that. Florida may have a lot of sin, but they have a lot of intercessors too. So it's, you know, both good and bad people. There's a lot of bad people, and there's a lot of good folks here. And so they know that too. They know that too. So that could be part of the plan. Texas, of course, also is a red state and a very integral part of the energy, like you said. And so they really wanted to destroy that, and they may want to go there for the second, you know, the 1-2 punch, and they may really want to do that. And there's another storm coming after this one.
Yeah,
I mean,
there is
Jose, and then there's another one that's coming after. I mean, it seems like the coast of Africa is spitting this storms out like they're cannonballs, one after the other after the other. So I don't think that this is all weather manipulated. I think there's another part here that we have to, I guess we have to begin to realize that this may be the other part of the equation that may be having a part, an impact, and that is the solar minimum that we are now going through, solar minimum.
Yes.
And the solar flares, of course, there was a huge one. There was an ex-solar flare recently. So that, you know, solar flares and solar minimums are notorious for triggering storms and earthquakes. There was an 8.1 in Mexico. I mean, massive, massive earthquake. It may have been bigger than that. You know, they always bring it out a notch or two. So, you know, these things are happening, and my concern is that it's going to get worse. This is not going to get better, I don't think. I think from now on, we are about to see an escalation of, you know, of disasters, of hurricanes or tornadoes, earthquakes, like we have never seen before, and you know, and of course the United States is one of the main targets, I believe that these people will take advantage, and this is where the scalar, the HAARP, and
yes,
all these things, that's where they come in. They take advantage of this kinds of situation to jump on it and make it worse, or redirect where the hurricanes go, or redirect where like earthquakes take place, because, you know, they do have that ability. I don't think they have the ability to create something out of nothing, but I believe if there's like a stress on fault lines, if there is a energy buildup there and there's stress, they do have the ability to trigger that. And so, you know, they cannot create an earthquake where there are no earthquakes. But they have the ability, like the San Andreas Fault and, you know, the New Madrid, they do have the ability to create something where there is the potential for it to happen.
Yeah.
And the same with the hurricanes. You know, like there's a little disturbance, a little low pressure, and they do have the ability to go there and, you know, make it a hurricane, a 4 or 5 or 6, you know, a category hurricane. So they do have that ability. And I think that is probably what is happening. So, you know.
Well, it's interesting that in the solar eclipse that took place, you know, on the 21st of August, that the longest part of that eclipse was 2 minutes and 41 seconds long. America is 241 years old. The last part of the eclipse over Colombia, which is an ancient name for America, actually, was 2:41 Eastern Daylight Time. That kind of sounds like the Lord was giving America a message. What do you think? Because, you know, I don't know if we talked about Jonah and the sign of Jonah, but it's kind of interesting that 40 days later from that eclipse is Atonement, Feast of Atonement. What's your take on that?
Yeah, I think so. I think we're getting very close to a lot of these events. And, you know, of course, we had the solar eclipse, which is very, very, very symbolic, I believe, very significant. We are upcoming now to September 23rd and the sign in the heavens. And,
yes.
Of course, we are in a Jubilee year, not just any Jubilee, but a very symbolic Jubilee. You know, the 70th Jubilee since Joshua led the people of Israel to cross into the Promised Land, and the 40th Jubilee since Messiah came. And so this is a very symbolic year, year 5777. So we know that something has got to, and I've been saying this now for a while, that something is going to happen this year, and I didn't know what. And we still don't know all of it, but we are beginning to see some very, very bad things happen, and I believe we haven't seen the worst of it yet. I really am concerned. I really believe we may see some really horrific events. This Hurricane Irma in Florida, what we just witnessed with Harvey in Texas, and now this is a 1-2 punch to the United States that it's not going to, I mean, the U.S. is going to feel this. America is going to feel this. This is a 1-2 punch. This is not good economically and in every way possible, and infrastructure and the energy and you name it. And on top of that, if another hurricane goes now up the East Coast, or another one hits in the Gulf, and then there's an earthquake somewhere. I mean, we're talking about a situation where America could be dealt a fatal blow.
Yeah.
And the enemies of America may take advantage to, you know, to attack America. Then, for example, North Korea. And
your take on North Korea? There's some.
Well, North Korea
out
is.
There.
They want to fight. They want a war. And North Korea is itching for a war. And, of course, many people believe that North Korea is the trigger, or a better word would be like a bait for America.
It's a trap.
To get them in there and into a war with Korea, North Korea, and then the United States is going to be hit by both Russia and China and maybe other countries, like Iran and others, which is pretty much what Dmitry Dudeman saw in his vision, and Harry Groover and many others. And so I think this is softening up the United States for a lethal blow.
Yeah.
And we haven't even begun to see the riots by the left. We haven't even begun to see the terrorist attacks. We haven't even begun to see the devastating earthquakes. I mean, if this scenario that I'm sharing, and I hope I'm wrong, I really do. But if this scenario begins to take place, we could be looking at the time prophesied by many prophets and many watchmen when they saw the U.S. was going to be hit from all sides. And when they were weak, that would be when the enemy of America would attack.
Yeah. And unfortunately, we have an internal enemy as well. And it doesn't seem like Trump is able to do whatever he wants to do. It's more like he's been surrounded by deep state. Larry, what's the latest on the Trump situation, the coup?
Before we go there, let me ask you guys, both of you guys, a question, and especially Augusto, because
yeah.
I know he studied George Washington's vision. But as y'all were talking, and I think one of you mentioned that it was like Africa was spitting out storms that were coming to America, it reminded me of George Washington's vision. And if, I don't remember it exactly, but it seems like there was some scenarios in there where they saw something like clouds coming from Africa crossing the ocean and impacting America and war. And I was thinking, you know, I don't know if we've ever really fully interpreted George Washington's visions, but I wonder if the clouds or the storms is what we're literally seeing now.
Well, it did say, yeah, it came from over that way, and they did say it was dark. It sort of indicated war, but war, you know, there's a fellow that had a vision of, he said, he saw a whirlwind, big one. He said, huge whirlwind. And then he saw a CME, huge CME, and it was going to devastate parts of the United States. Well, we have Irma, and now we've had our 9 point whatever it was, 3. So it makes you wonder. It's like the Lord is hammering the United States by probably allowing those that rise up against me and who destroy the earth, but he's allowing it and allowing them to pummel the United States, maybe trying to wake up people. You know, if you're going to have 40 days of repentance and you got a nation like America, you're going to have to hit them pretty hard to get them to even open an eye up, I think. What about you, Augusto? I mean, repentance just seems to be a dirty word in America. I haven't heard anything about repentance.
Well, the thing is this. I really believe that the Lord gave America another chance with Donald Trump. I really believe that. And of course, there is a prophet from India, Sundar Selvarag. Is his name, and he recently prophesied. He recently gave a very, very sobering word. He came here to America to a conference, and he said basically these words. He said, "The Lord gave America Donald Trump. He gave it to America for 4 years. He said so that America would get their act together." And America would repent, and people would get their lives, straightened out and get their act together. In other words, what I took from that was that God gave America Donald Trump so that he could clean up a lot of the mess that was done by Obama, Bush, and the Clintons. And he really tried to do that. Donald Trump, he really has tried to do that. But like you said, they just don't want him. They have his hands bound. They don't want him to do that. Even the conservatives don't want him and to do that because they're a bunch of communists. They're sold out. They're sold out. They're old lock, stock, and barrel by the deep state. And even many Christians are against him. So You know, that many Christians just want to keep on living their, you know, the worldly lives. They don't believe that in prayer. They don't want to pray. They don't want to repent. And, you know, there is a remnant that was the one that prayed and triggered this whole thing, and it happened. But, you know, like I was saying, the main reason, you know, a lot of people think that Donald Trump was put there to make America great again and, you know, wealthy, whatever. And that was mm-hmm. never it. That was never the reason why God put Trump there. God put Trump in power in America to clean up the mess, to jail all these pedophiles that are there, to put behind bars all these devils and are in human trafficking and drug dealers and all these evil people, to clean up the mess, to stop the inflow of Muslims that was coming in here, of gangs and gang members from Mexico, and all these people that are in all the safe zones that he wants to clean out. But it seems like he's fighting an uphill battle with everyone. Everybody hates him. Everybody wants to stop him. There's only a small group of ragtag Christians like myself, you know, and us three that are mm-hmm. rooting, you know, want him to succeed. That most don't want him to succeed. And so what that does is, and let me finish what the Sundar said. He said if they manage to take him out, if Donald Trump does not finish his 4 years, if they remove him, impeach him, whatever, he says judgment, severe judgment will fall on America. Severe judgment will fall on America. And he said those words not too long ago. And I felt it in my heart. That was straight from the heart of God. Because that's exactly yeah. how I feel. That's exactly how I feel. So.
Yeah. I mean, he's given America, I don't know how many times, to repent, change their ways. But now it's getting really serious. I guess one could word it that way. That, I mean, there are, Larry keeps up on part of that. I know there's been talk about not only impeachment, but assassination, get rid of it.
Yep.
What's your take on that, Larry?
Well, that's, you know, those scenarios are voiced around, I guess you could say, in the Beltway and other parts of the country. And one thing I was going to mention, too, and get Augusto's opinion and yours both, because something is going on with the sun. We really don't know what that is, but we do know that that it recently, a couple of days ago or so, fired off a X-class flare, I believe it was 9.3, that actually came by the Earth quickly. It was supposed to arrive today, but it actually went by yesterday and caused troubles. But then suddenly right behind that, there was three M-class. There's an M2.4, an M1.4, and an M7.3. And following on the base of that, those three was a X1.3 flare. Now, that's four flares yesterday that are moving our way now today as we speak. And they're still expecting more from this sunspot AR-2673. Something going on with the sun. And it could, you know, I'm wondering, Augusto, could it be troubles with the sun in relationship to troubles with Donald Trump from all those that are trying to bring him down?
Yeah, I think so. Definitely could be. You know, this solar eclipse coming through America, I think that was significant, very significant. And I think that the fact that they're trying to remove him by, you know, by force, although he has done nothing worthy of impeachment. We all know this Russia collusion is a farce. They haven't found anything. And the FBI director, the current FBI director, just came out and said that he has found absolutely no signs of obstruction of justice by the White House. And so, what are they doing? What is Mueller doing? What is he doing? There's nothing there for him to, and yet they keep going. They keep trying to impeach him. They keep trying to threaten him. They threaten him with murder. Brennan, John Brennan, speaking out that, he should be removed, and all these other talking heads saying that he should be killed, and he's going to be, I mean, these people have such a deep-seated hatred of President Trump. They want to remove him, and the thing about it is that the Lord showed me in July 1st, that he was going, there was a plan being hatched to remove him deep in the deepest and the highest levels of Congress and in the government. We know that now they've been talking about that, and this is exactly what this prophet said. That's exactly what he said. They're trying to remove him, a man that was put there by God to give the people here another chance, and it seems like they're just mocking him, and they are just trying to remove him, the person that he put there to give America a second chance, and they're not taking it. They are not taking it, and they just don't care. They don't care about America. Can you believe that some people are really rooting for this storm to destroy Florida? And to destroy Donald Trump's property in West Palm Beach, and can anyone believe that the depths of the evil of these people, that they care more about their evil pride than they care about the nation? They don't care if the nation goes to war with Korea and the nuke ends up in California or whatever. These people are wicked. They're evil to the core. And I have a feeling that God is going to deal with them soon.
Yeah. What's so interesting is the fact, and I'd like y'all's opinions if you want to chime in on this, from what we've watched from the time really of the actual contest or the election that Donald Trump was, entering to run against Hillary Clinton, and of course he ran against Obama at the same time particularly, but doesn't it look like, Augusto, that this is literally, and you see it across the nation, you see it in every form of government, in every state, in local cities, counties, it's a demonic hatred for Donald Trump. Do you kind of equate that, Augusto, with the Lord actually placing him in power? And that hatred is coming from not only the demons, but also operating and filtering down through the minions of those demonic forces.
Oh, absolutely. No doubt about it. No doubt about it. This is the same type of hatred that manifested when Jesus Christ, the Messiah, was on the earth. And, of course, we're not equating Donald Trump with Jesus Christ. We're talking about the demonic hatred manifesting against the man. It was the same type of hatred manifesting against the Messiah, and it was that kind of, it was not natural, it was supernatural hatred, demonic hatred, because they knew who he was, and of course Donald Trump is no Jesus Christ, he's no Messiah, but he is a man put there by the Lord. And so, like you said, Larry, because of that, they know that the Almighty put him there. The only one that could have put him there was the Almighty. And they also know that he has many, many Christians praying for him, and many Christians, talking to him and advising him. And so they also know that he wants to protect Christians. He wants to, like, for example, when Obama was president, he was bringing in 60% of the people he was bringing in, immigrants, they were Muslims. 60% were Muslims. Well, do you know, Donald Trump, President Trump, he reversed that. of all the migrants coming into this country, 60%, that's the figure I just heard this last week, 60% of the people he's bringing in are Christians. So he reversed that. Instead of being Muslim, he's bringing 60% of Christians that are being persecuted. So going back to your comment, Larry, I am 100% convinced this is a demonic, supernatural hatred. Hatred for him and hatred for anyone that supports him. And that includes you, you know, all three of us and everyone out there that prays for him. I mean, when has anyone ever seen witches every month praying against a president? When have we ever seen that, ever? We have never seen that. This is incredible. This is a supernatural hatred that is so obvious and so strong that they make plays, you know, plays about murdering Donald Trump, I mean, in public. Another crazy woman she does a photo op with a head, you know, supposedly was the head of Donald Trump, the decapitated head of Donald Trump. I mean, what are these people? I mean, are these people gone mad? I believe that the answer is there is a demonic madness, supernatural, that has possessed many of these people. Of course, they don't know it. They may not realize it. But that is exactly what is happening.
Yeah, it's kind of like a domestic where reasoning, facts don't matter. It's just emotional and demonically driven. And maybe this is all part of the overall destruction of the United States. I had a friend of mine a long time ago who worked in Washington at the Capitol, and he said you could almost, you could see, he didn't say almost, he said you could see the demonics there and the amount of oppression from demonic forces. It was very, very oppressive. He finally got out of it and left, but he said it was extremely oppressive spiritually. So the demons really got to be working overtime. And as Larry pointed out, when we went into Iraq, part of Persia, we maybe inadvertently got the Prince of Persia now over us. Remember that, Larry?
Oh, yeah. I was referring to the fact that, you know, in Daniel it talks about the Prince of Persia and how he came to trouble Daniel and prevent you know, a assistant from even the angels, you know, when Daniel prayed. And so I was thinking about that. And then I also got a lot of emails when we actually invaded Iraq and we went to the, we actually went to Babylon, to where the so-called Tower of Babel, the remains of it there, and went down under it. And I received information that they had loaded up a lot of stuff. I'll just put it that way, stuff. And removed stuff in huge containers. And actually the ones that did it were not the military. It was Blackwater people, specialized black project situations. And they flew a lot of that stuff out of there back to America. And so, you know, is it possible that when we actually went in to Iraq under the bushes that we literally stepped into the territory or the domain, and then Augusto knows what I'm talking about, a spiritual domain of the Prince of Persia, who's still there. He was never totally toppled. And actually, we came under actual influence of that Prince of Persia after that fact, because you got to remember, America started going down really about that time, and the great evil began to operate in a greater measure in Washington.
Well, yeah. I mean, we had the evil right there in Washington, I mean, until recently. That's what a lot of people, you know, don't realize. I mean, probably people out there listening to this podcast, they remember when President Obama was elected president and he went into the White House, do you remember all the rituals, satanic rituals, witchcraft that were done before he went in there? Well, you know, people don't pay a lot of attention to that. I do. And there is definitely impartations that take place, spiritual impartations. And, you know, Donald Trump won the presidency, and he went in there, and he didn't bother to clean out that mess that that man left behind. See, that is a stench. And I'm not talking about physical stench. I'm talking about spiritual stench.
Yes.
And what he needed to have done is have a group of prayer warriors go in there and clean out the White House inside out from all the ungodly demons that they probably, like you said, brought from Iraq and brought from all over. I mean, there's all kinds of demons in there that have been brought in from all over. And witchcraft that has been done and satanic rituals that have been done. And so that has brought a lot of darkness to the, you know, to the White House. And for President Trump ever to be able to rule there with any kind of liberty, the first thing he had to do was cleanse the White House, spiritual cleansing first,
yes.
And then the physical cleansing. But if the spiritual had to be done first, and of course that wasn't done, and as a result of that, all that ungodliness is still there. And I know he did a remodeling recently of the West Wing and all the White House, but it's going to take more than that to get rid of the stench. And I feel like, I believe he feels it. I think that he's a very perceptive person. He feels something is off. He feels something bad. And he tried to get rid of it by maybe remodeling the White House. And that may help a little. It's not going to help much. That's going to have to be a spiritual cleansing.
Well, go ahead, Larry.
Oh, I was just going to mention, just as an add-on to what y'all are talking about, I wanted to mention the fact that I find it interesting. I found it interesting, really, from January the 20th forward, that he doesn't seem comfortable in the White House. He's always, and this is interesting, too, because this hurricane, you know, they've had to close Mar-a-Lago, or I believe that's the name of really the second White House. That's where Donald Trump really likes to spend his time instead of the White House,
right,
is Mar-a-Lago. And they've got him up in the Northeast right now, Martha's Vineyard or something like that, I think. But he don't like to stay in the White House. Have you noticed that? And I'm wondering, is that storm somehow being sent against Mar-a-Lago or to remove maybe his second White House location? I know they'd like to box him into the White House and keep him in one room tied up.
that's what they want to do. Well, you know, he just lost another place over in the islands. He had another place that he used to go there, and that was wiped out. Now they're trying to wipe this one out. I wonder if they're manipulating these storms to destroy all of his places that he goes to. You know, there's another one in Jersey. Maybe New Jersey is next. I don't know.
Well, there's certainly something going on. I mean, we can't be getting – we're being hit on all sides. We got all these fires going on out west. Larry, what's the latest on that? Have you heard anything more other than – I mean, it seems like the whole west is on fire, basically.
Yeah, it's a lot of the west is on fire. Matter of fact, they're talking now. A lot of the smoke has drifted down into my region of the country. From these fires, and it doesn't look like it much relief inside, and it's staying really, really hot out there in the west and south. But, you know, and then interestingly, we keep having all these massive storms, you know, along a line all the way from Mexico across the Gulf of Mexico, you know, into to the Atlantic, and this is nonstop. And what's interesting, too, is, you know, they're saying that the whole Atlantic and Gulf region is so hot, absolutely. Y'all remember back when the train of flow of cooler water, I can't remember what they called that, but they said it stopped. They made a movie about that, actually, Day After Tomorrow. And this really happened. And so I'm wondering, is that part of the changes that have literally set us up for the scenarios or the judgments or the scenarios of destruction that are around us now?
Well, it's like sort of mentioned. Yeah, go ahead, Augusto.
No, I was just going to say to that that when I saw that picture of the three hurricanes that was taken from outer space and from a satellite, and it reminded me of that movie. Remember when there was like a bunch of storms and hurricanes at the same time, simultaneously, and tornadoes, and that came to my spirit. So it's interesting that you mentioned that.
Well, abrupt. We're, obviously, they're going to. You may remember. I can't remember who it was, but a high-powered French guy in the government. You may remember this, Larry, too. He said, we have 500 days to climate chaos. Remember that? And that...
That was the one before Macron. What was his name? Started with an L, I think.
Yeah, I can't remember his name, but that expired on 9/23/2015.
Wow.
Now, what was interesting is we did have the Pope and Obama shaking hands there on 9/23 at 9:23 in the morning. This 9/23 is a huge, huge date for the occult for whatever reason. And what's interesting is we had that sandstorm in Israel that delayed the Feast of Trumpets, remember, for 2 days, which would be a two-year delay. And here we are 2 years later, 9/23 coming up in 2017. And all of a sudden, we are having climate chaos.
Yeah.
What do you think, Augusto? Now, you've had other visions about Florida and other areas being wiped out. You had one about a tsunami or something coming along the East Coast?
Yeah. Yeah, but that was the whole East Coast. That was the all the way from Maine down to... You know, down to Miami. So that is a major one. That would be a cataclysmic event, which probably we're getting there as well. But you know, going back to the climate change that you mentioned, could they have been maybe you know, maybe off a couple of years? Because I do believe there has been a time shift. So could they have been planning that for, let's say, 2015, and it didn't happen in 2015? Maybe it's 2017 when it is really going to happen. Yeah.
Yeah. I think the Lord, that sandstorm in Israel was absolutely, how do we say, Larry, supernatural, I would think. Very, very rare, and for it to delay the Feast of Trumpets for 2 days. Now, secular Israel probably didn't, they don't pay any attention to it. Whatever it says on the calendar, that's the Feast of Trumpets. But certainly the rabbis knew that the Lord had delayed things for the 2 days. And, of course, you get into Daniel and the 7 days of Daniel's 70th week. And so when I saw it, I thought to myself, well, there's going to be a delay for 2 years. And here we are in the middle of climate chaos, really starting to rear its very ugly head, whether it's man-made or even if it is man-made. I'd like your comments, both you and Larry. If the Lord allows it, could we then say that the Lord did it by allowing it?
Well, I wouldn't say he did it. I wouldn't say he did it because, you know, there are many other factors involved that you know, the way I prefer to look at it is, like, for example, the Planet X deal, okay?
Mm-hmm.
He said that in motion, you know, the Almighty said that in motion, and, you know, of course, he controls it. He, you know, he moves it a little faster or delays it or whatever, but it's an event that happens by itself. He doesn't have to do a supernatural miracle to make it happen. It just happens. And it is a periodic event that we know happens every so often,
yeah.
Be it 3,600 years or whatever. But I think that's probably more in line. And then, you know, like when we read the Bible, we see how Moses, you know, split the Red Sea and all the miracles that happened, and all those things, the plagues and all that, it was the result of the destroyer coming by, and then of course, even if the devil were to whip up some of these things, you know, it would be the demonic and the Lord allowing it for some reason, which is kind of a legal, you know, aspect of it, you know, that he goes to the Lord, like in the book of Job, and requests, mm-hmm. let me do this, you know, and because so-and-so has done this, or the country has done this, or whatever, and then the Lord, you know, weighs it in the court of heaven, in the legal battle, and say, okay, grant it, you know, just like a legal court. There are many types and shadows of that in the Bible, where Jesus talks about that. You know, the widow that went to the judge and so forth and so on. So we know those kinds of scenarios take place. So I wouldn't say that it is the Lord just himself doing it. I prefer to look at it like the devil stirs up the trouble, just like in the book of Job. And mm-hmm. the Lord, you know, he has to go along with it. Yeah, because the devil goes and say, he accuses, okay, so-and-so, you know, your son or your daughter or America or whatever, did this and did that and did that, and therefore I petition that you allow me to destroy Florida, or you allow me to destroy Houston, or you allow me to destroy whatever. And then the Almighty has no choice, because there are no there's no repentance. There's no intercession from anybody, or not enough, at least. And mm-hmm. he has no choice but to say, grant it. And that's yeah. why these things happen. So that is the way I see it. And I know there's people out there that see it differently, but that's the way I prefer to look at it based on Scripture.
Larry, what do you think?
Yeah, I think I have to go along with Augusto on, you know, I really hesitate to say if the Lord allows it that he did it, because the initiation began demonically with some of these things, and the blame should fall there, of course. It's interesting
yes.
to note that Augusto mentioned court in heaven, because, you know, in court a lot of times the one that really did it is protected. So we do know that, you know, we've spoken before about Lucifer and Satan, and how that he seems to go on for a long, long time doing very unreasonable things to humanity, and they seem to want him to do it. And I can't really figure that one out, but here we are, you know. And I find something else interesting, too. Augusto mentioned that, talking about the great evil that happened when Obama entered the office, mm-hmm. you know, the White House. And, you know, I thought to myself, and I don't know if you guys have thought about this, you know, it almost sounds like a parallel universe between the Pope and the Vatican, and how evil literally, the priest that passed away, I'm trying to remember his name.
Oh, Malachi.
Malachi Martin. Yeah, Malachi Martin. You remember Malachi Martin explained how that evil had entered the Vatican and it bloomed. And you remember Malachi got out and began warning people, and then, of course, he was killed. But it's
yep.
almost the same way, and I connect this a little bit to the 2015 thing you talked about, Stuart, because could it be that the plans, the rich men, the Illuminati, you know, or the demonic, they all had plans that Obama, this would literally finish America under Obama's watch. But when
yes.
the two-year delay came from 2015 onward, he lost it, and he couldn't finish the job, and Trump was set in. And I wonder, what do you all think about that?
Well, I think...
Yeah, I think you're right.
Go ahead.
I was just going to say, I think you're right, Larry. I think you're right on that. I think that was the plan, that probably was the original plan. Remember that many of these prophets and watchmen kept saying that there was not going to be any more presidents after Obama.
That's
remember
right.
that. And they kept saying, no more, no more. And all of a sudden, here is number 45. So something happened that was not expected. And everybody was surprised. I mean, everybody was surprised. And that's when I came out with that article I wrote, basically talking about the time shift. There had been a time shift. And I mean, I really believe that these people wanted to wrap things up since way back in 2012. They wanted to do something by 2012. It didn't happen. Then 2014. And then it did, it couldn't be, 2015, 2016. And finally, here we're in 2017. And I really feel like they really want to go at it this year. And they feel like they can't wait anymore. So we'll just have to wait and see. But these people are desperate now. They're desperate. Because they know that with Trump there in the White House, their plans have been basically destroyed. Trump has already destroyed many of their treaties.
There was TPP, and there was NAFTA,
and the Paris climate deal, and on and on and on. He's destroying all their plans, and they just can't have that. And I have a feeling that. That the man of lawlessness, whoever he is, he's ready. He's waiting there on the wings, and he just can't, you know, they just can't wait anymore. And something has got to give.
Yeah, unfortunately. And well, anyway, I was just curious because there is so much going on now. It's like the Lord has just lifted his hand and turned his back upon the United States. Not that you can blame him. I mean, how many innocents do we murder in the womb? You know, it just goes on and on and on when it comes to evil. And although there are good people here, and like you were saying, intercessors, it's like there's a storm coming of great evil, and it's coming in like a flood, just like the hurricanes are coming in as a flood. What do you think?
Yeah, it's coming in all right, and of course the darkness. You know, there's this great darkness that is going to come in, and I think that has a lot to do with these hurricanes coming from Africa and the darkness that is coming. And I do feel like something is getting ready. Something big is getting ready to happen. And of course, you know, the remote viewer guy. You know, I can't come up with his name right now, but he said that, Dames, he said that this year was going to be the year. And he didn't only say that. He said he went as far as to say that this year, 2017, was going to be the year that Planet X would appear. And I happen to believe that that could very well be.
Before we run out of time, I wanted to ask you, Augusto, have you ever had a vision of an earthquake in the Chicago area?
As a matter of fact, I have.
Oh, really?
And, I did. And I remember, now this was quite a few years ago, and I remember that I was in Chicago, and I felt a tremendous earthquake. And I lay hold of a big rock, and I just reached for it, and I hugged it because everything was shaking so violently. And then I saw a lake that was, you know, a huge water, which I didn't realize it back then, but, you know, one of the Great Lakes is right there, you know, close to Chicago.
Yep.
And that lake drained. It became dry. It became dry. The water disappeared, and I remember in that experience, I I just couldn't believe it. I said, how can that be? How can this be? Because I had never seen anything like that, a water disappear from a great lake like that. And then I heard in the background the song, The Night Chicago Died.
Hmm.
The Night Chicago Died. Yeah.
Well, the only reason I bring it up is I've been doing some research on the earthquake and tsunami. I had Red Elk. He's a Native American elder. He died some time ago now. But I had him. I had him interviewed. I interviewed him, and he spoke about a huge earthquake in the Chicago area under Lake Michigan. And
wow.
The reason I'm bringing it up is we have had. Do you remember the Mount Pleasant? I think it was West Virginia accident where the bridge collapsed. 46 people died. Well. People were citing what they called the Mothman. There were a lot of sightings of the Mothman just before that accident took place. Now, in Chicago, there are a large number of Mothman sightings. And I'm just wondering if we aren't. Now, one guy had a vision. Let me just read a little bit of this, because it sounds so much like what you saw. He said, since 1973, this is long after he had his vision, we have realized that the earthquake will cause a geographic depression in the land, turning much of the city of Chicago into a causeway for this flood of water, while in places north of the fault line, some land areas will be elevated above the water. The Lord showed me that Calumet City, Illinois, Hammond, Indiana, East Chicago, East Chicago, Indiana, and some other points around the southern tip of Lake Michigan will be all underwater. In many places, up to 60 feet of water. At Lake Michigan's southern tip, I see a vast plain of water with no buildings left standing above the water's surface. On July 5th, 1973, in Des Plaines, Illinois, I saw the water up over the speed limit sign on, he gives the name of a road, and water there appeared to be at least 5 or 6 feet deep, if not deeper. So there's just some, but in the end, this is what he says, and I'm curious about what you would think of this, because it sounds like this is a quake that is part of what Larry saw and others have seen about the splitting of the United States. Because these are the cities, he says, will be flattened by this huge earthquake that takes place in Chicago, St. Paul, Minnesota, Milwaukee, St. Louis, Missouri, Louisville, Kentucky, Indianapolis, Ohio, Cincinnati, Ohio, Kansas City, Missouri, Southern Ontario, where it went to the north, and on he goes. But he says basically it devastates the entire Midwest. He was given, he says, the number, which he still admits he doesn't know what it means. The number was 17.
Hmm.
Well, that might be 2017. There's something coming on that 9/23 or before or slightly after date that is going to be absolutely devastating. That's what I believe anyway. I'm not asking anybody else to believe it. But all the numbers are adding in that something tremendous, humongous is going to take place. And I was just wondering, with all the Mothman sightings, have you done any or seen anything about the Mothmen? Obviously, they're demonic and they're very evil, or they're a death angel of some sort. Because wherever they're sighted, something happens soon after.
Yeah, well, I do want to say something about what you mentioned. about 9:23. You know, I don't know if you know of David Mead, but he's an amateur astronomer and has done extensive research on Planet X. I interviewed him, and I think you were a part of in that interview, Larry, last year. When I interviewed him, of course, you know, he talked about it, but he recently, he wrote a book about Planet X, and the Planet X is going to be seen around September 23rd or shortly thereafter. And he recently, I heard him say on the radio, and I might have him back, I don't know. He recently said on a radio show that he had real footage that was given to him by an astronomer from Europe. And, this video footage shows without a shadow of a doubt the mini solar system, the Nibiru mini solar system. And this astronomer, the European astronomer, told him that he has seen it. It is there. It is in our solar system now, and that this will definitely be having an impact soon on planet Earth. So that may have something to do with September 23rd. I think it does.
So in the star sign, you have, right after the star sign, you do have this great red dragon that shows up. And I have seen some pictures. Google tried to block it out. They didn't do a very good job of it. I mean, you can see part of it. But on some of the other programs, you can see the whole thing coming up under the legs of Virgo in connection with, of course, devouring the man child that will be born, well, some say tomorrow or the 11th. We're seeing the number 9/11 all over the place. I've been tracking all these numbers. It gets kind of confusing after a while. Do you have any sense or any dread of a 9/11 false flag or something else that could trigger a lot more all the way through to 9/23?
Well, this Hurricane Irma, this is going to be trekking through Florida the 10th and the 11th. And this is going to be a national emergency, if you ask me. So,
you suppose it could stall and hit, make landfall on 9/11 or have demolished everything by 9/11? It is supposed to hit, isn't it, next?
Yeah, it's going to be, by the time it gets out of Florida and into Georgia, of course, it's going to continue into Georgia or into Carolinas. That is going to, it's going to start on the 10th or the 9th or the 10th, and then it's going to go right through the 10th and the 11th. And, you know, this is going to be just as bad, probably worse than the 9/11. This is going to destroy the whole state of Florida, the economy of Florida, the infrastructure of Florida. I mean, back then in 9/11, yeah, we had a lot of people die. That's true. We had 3,000 people dead. But basically, it was two buildings that were destroyed. Two buildings. This is going to be way more than two buildings. Hopefully, there's not going to be 3,000 people die, and I'm praying that that's the case. But as far as buildings and property and real estate and the destruction of infrastructure and city and economy, it's going to be horrific. So that would qualify as a 9/11 to me.
Do you know how many people, are they still evacuating? The last word I got, maybe Larry knows more about it, that they were kind of, the highways or the interstates were just mobbed. And I remember a scientist saying he worried about that because gasoline is now unavailable, I guess. And a lot of these people can't make it up to the border. I'm sure you're familiar with that. with one tank of gas, and they don't have any gas. They're all out. You suppose that these people are going to get trapped out on the highways?
Hello, Augusto? Did we lose Augusto?
Wow, I guess we did.
Well, maybe he'll call right back. Yeah,
hey.
I was going to mention, Stuart, they were saying that it's a 17-hour trip now because they can only go like 15 miles an hour, all these massive amounts of cars. And what's interesting or frightening really in a way is I think a lot of the East Coast was evacuating and the South, but the West Coast, Southwest, they really, I don't believe very many of them left. So what if this thing moving westward comes down on top of them? All those people are still there, and they won't have time to leave.
Yeah. Augusto, are you still there? No, I think we lost him, Larry. Maybe he'll call back in. But he's definitely not here. Yeah, this thing, well, it would wipe out, like, his vision. I'll bet you this is part of the vision that he had.
Yeah. It sounds such, and I'll tell you what. Maybe,
I'll see.
Yeah, we get him back. But if we don't, I pray that Augusto and his family are in a place of Goshen, if you get my gist.
Yeah, I got dropped.
You're back.
I'm back.
Well, good. Good.
They didn't like
that
one, 9/11, I guess.
Well, there's a lot of things they don't like, and we have a lot of trouble on this show, being all kinds of things go on. And anyway, before we close, any comments you'd like to make, Augusto, for the people out there?
Well, I really would ask you to keep us in prayer. We are on like I was saying, we are right there in Florida, in the northern part of Florida, and if you will, just keep praying that the Lord pulls that storm out away from the coast, out into the, hopefully out into the Atlantic would be the ideal, where the storm can go into the cold water. So just keep us in prayer and keep Miami in prayer and that whole South Florida, because there's a lot of people there that may not have been able to get out, and they may perish. So there's going to be a lot of destruction. So keep the state of Florida in prayer, and continue to pray for us, for my family and I, and hopefully we'll make it through this. Appreciate you all, your prayers for us.
Well, we certainly will do that. We were talking about the people trying to get out, and Larry was saying that the speed limit or actually the speed that they're able to travel is like 15 miles an hour on the major roads out. What I'm worried about is they get trapped there.
Yeah.
On the highways. Because how many people, do you know how many people have actually evacuated compared to the population? Probably not very many.
I don't know, but the highways are filled. I mean saturated. I-75 is bumper to bumper, and I-95 is bumper to bumper, and they ran out of gas in most gas stations along those two highways, and they even ran out of gas here in some places here where I live, and so the people are really, getting out. They're getting out of Dodge as fast as they can.
Well, I sure hope that it dissipates and just vanishes from sight. I guess it depends on what the Lord has in mind and what he's going to allow and what he isn't going to allow. Well, we really appreciate you coming on, Augusto. Sorry we had all that trouble getting you online, but really appreciate your comments. Very important.
Well, thanks for having me, Stuart. It's always a joy and a blessing to be with you and Larry on the Night Shadows.
Well, we appreciate it. Larry, appreciate you coming on online. How are things down there on the mountaintop?
Really strange cold weather. It was 55 last night, and everything's turning already. And Augusto, we're really in prayer for you and your family, and we're praying no matter what happens, you're in a place of Goshen.
Yep.
Amen. Thank you.
Absolutely.
I receive that.
Anyway, good night, everybody, and thanks for tuning in and listening, and we'll be with you next week, the Lord willing. Good night.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.